It is the beginning of Lent. How many of you did not know that? No, I don't want to ask. That's not the right way to do that. How many of you remembered that it was the beginning of Lent? There we go. We're not terribly sure why there's this tradition of giving something up for Lent. You know, growing up, I didn't do that. I wasn't in a gathering of a family that did that. But is your tradition, do you have that tradition of always giving something up for Lent? How many, just kind of a show of hands, so you're giving something up for Lent, all right. I think it comes from some of the Catholic tradition of a dietary restriction. What are they?
Because Frank always did, and he was Roman Catholic.
Okay, Frank was Roman Catholic, so he had to give up meat?
Well, he gave up something, but he only gave up meat on Fridays.
Oh, okay, gave up meat on Fridays. That explains it. I remember when I was in a previous church, and if we went to Greeley on Fridays and we went to the fish place, it was packed. So they gave up meat, but apparently fish was kosher, okay. Whatever, I got you now, all right. You know, I'll figure this thing out. The Protestant Reformation, I don't know that that's something that we hold firmly to, but it is a reflection of Jesus's 40 days in the wilderness. Now, if you sit down with your calendar and try and count the 40 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter, you'll be off a little because it messes around and doesn't count Sundays or something. I don't remember that exactly, but the 40 days will lead us now to Easter. So we're on that journey. And that's worth remembering and contemplating and praying about and being in the middle of. I don't know that it's a bad thing for us to contemplate if there's something we need to give up. I know that it's always a good thing to contemplate if there's something that we need to do to better ourselves. I'm speaking only for myself here, but I'm not 100% of the way on the way to perfection. I am moving on to perfection. Are you moving on to perfection? Yeah. We'll do that one more time. Are you moving on to perfection? Yes. Amen. There are days when we feel like we're moving a little forward, two steps forward, one step back, don't we? But we continue on with God as our help. So this is intriguing to me. God, James read the Matthian passage of Jesus' temptation. He had to explore those possible weaknesses, those possible flaws, those places where he might fail. This is Jesus. Is it possible that he would have temptations? That he would have weaknesses? Think about that a moment. I mean, this is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what weaknesses could Jesus possibly have? He's the Christ, after all. And yet Christ, fully human, would not be fully human if he did not, like each of us, have potential weaknesses. And this naming of those and pausing is important. To have a weakness, to make possessions and food and feeding yourself. In our culture today, it's not as much pressure as it was in Jesus' age. If you were a person living in Jesus' time, a good portion of every day that you were alive, you had to figure out how to eat. It was not a given. And so to know that that was a struggle, and it might be a temptation to put that pressure ahead of anything else. And so he's tempted to turn this rock into bread. Man does not live by bread alone. Humanity does not live by bread alone. And he takes him to the top of the temple, and he said, I can throw yourself off and call God to save you. And Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord your God. Living and being free of afflictions is a temptation we all want. We all pray, keep our families safe, keep us all healthy, and we all want that. But, you know, somehow I still end up going to the doctor now and again and again. Not only that, I don't know, this is a little off track, but it might be good or bad news. My doctor's office called, and they're closing down. I don't know if it was me. I kind of feel a little guilty. I just was in there. But as of the beginning of March, the whole practice is going to go away. That's a little unnerving. I'll find someone else, God willing, but we need to pause every once in a while and give thanks for those who do the healthcare. Amen? So Jesus facing his weaknesses. And if Jesus has weaknesses, what about us? Dad and I, years ago, were talking. I don't know what started the conversation, but as an adult, I had been preaching on various things over time, and I commented on temptations, and I said, Dad, what do you think your temptations are? And he barely paused, and he said, money. Dad, providing for family, I realized looking back that it was a struggle for most of his time. He grew up in the Depression, so his family did what they could, and they always had to work hard to find things. He decided he was called to teaching, and he went into teaching, and you don't make money teaching. Family of four of us, so when summer break came, he hired on as day laborer all summer long to make some extra money to put food on our table. So it was a real pressure on him. And so money was one of his temptations. And I have to think about it. I am grateful that money is not one of my temptations. Now, don't worry, I've still got others. And no, I'm not going to share them with you. Each of us has some things that might be tempting. The CIA had a list of ways that you could take a person and turn them into a double agent by tempting them with various things. Money or food or sex or nationality. Nationalism. You could tempt somebody to do something by convincing them that it was for their country or for their religion or for their cause. That startled me, but it was something to be aware of. So there are these areas that most of us share that might be temptations for us. What are yours? And face them. Gird your loins against them. If you can name those things that might become problems in your lives, you're ready to watch out for them. So here is the temptation. We don't have a confessional in the church. I've never been in a confessional. I'm assuming that Frank did. I mean, he went to confession. And if those of you who have been Catholic have been in them, they have a purpose that's useful because confession and redemption is important. But the Reformation, when Martin Luther broke from the Roman Catholic Church, his point was that priests can't forgive us. And giving the penalty as saying five Hail Marys or whatever penalty they seem to... All I know about the confessional is from TV, so I am patently ignorant here. But priests do not offer and bring us forgiveness. That comes from God. Think about that a moment. There are transgressions that move us away from the Lord. And when we do those, that's that division and that separation and that guilt and all that begins to play in, and we begin to move away from our holiness connection. And through Christ, we have forgiveness. And that brings us back closer again. But that forgiveness comes through Christ. You heard that this morning, didn't you? We read together in our bulletin, and at toward the end of it, I read, in the name of Christ, you are forgiven. I can't forgive you, but in Christ's name, you are forgiven. And then you read back to me, you can't forgive me, but in the name of Christ, you said that I was forgiven. Amen. Thank you. Grace upon grace, wonder upon wonder, and we celebrate that forgiveness because it brings us back into right relationship. One of the things that I have discovered in my career in the ministry is that we do guilt really well, and that a lot of the people in the pews remember everything they've done wrong very vividly, including me. And we hold on to those, we latch on to those, and we don't latch on to the forgiveness that God gives us that allows us to let go of those. That's kind of a transgression of its own. To not accept God's grace of forgiveness, we are not following where God is leading us. Now, that doesn't mean it makes it easier, but it does remind us, if God has forgiven me, I need to let go of this. Think about that during these 40 days. Think about some of those things from your past that you wish you could go back and change, and you wish you could be forgiven for, and know that by knowing and by confessing, you have been forgiven. Amen? We have a slide, and this is what stirred this whole sermon. It's a little hard to see here, but on the left is an angel, and she's talking to a man, and he has a shovel. He's toiling. He's working. And the angel has come, and as he is toiling in his work, the angel is bringing him forgiveness. And the title written in the back in Latin is Forgiveness and Toil Equals Virtue. Between God and our efforts, we come to righteousness. Things get better. It is the right place to be. Think about that a moment. Now, built into that is the sense that you just can't sit on your tuchuses. We can't just be good Christians and not do nothing. I know that's bad English, but it's really graphic. There are no passengers on the ship of Christ. It's a working boat. We're all members of the crew. All of us have something to offer. I contemplate that. Let's talk about our Virginia that we just lost. 99 years young. Not a lot she can do. She couldn't come help us clean weeds or hoe this or dig that or build this or paint that. Her body was beyond the ability to do those things. And when it comes to painting, that's something that you should not have me do because I'm really bad at it. So we can't all do everything, but each of us can contribute in some way. And Virginia did. She traveled. They lifted the places that she had traveled to around the world, and she traveled as a Christian woman with joy and celebration. And she came back, and she was a person of joy and of acceptance of a variety of things that was awesome. She was an inclusive, accepting, loving person. That was what she was doing. How are we about and what are we about doing? That's what Romans says. The grace of God and the free gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. Grace and toil and virtue and righteousness. So that holy messenger had come and has brought us grace, the grace of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Accept that. In this Lent, make one of your journeys be, accept that God has forgiven me those things that I regret that I have done, and let me let go of them because they are weighing me down and being able to be the Christian that God calls me to be. May it be so. Amen. Amen.